Good morning. I'm going to sing through a new microphone. We're going to put the words up. Help me sing this song, please. All my hopes fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for this heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one more. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, nothing else fit for a king, except for this heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs, get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs, get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those lungs, get up and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for this heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God in this house.
Turn the Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. Very familiar portion of Scripture. Isaiah chapter number 6. Verse number 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it, the temple, stood the seraphims. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another. And this is what they said. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And when they said that, the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Isaiah records this next statement. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, if we stopped right there, that would tell us that there is no hope. We have a holy God who the whole earth is full of his glory. And if it stopped right there, it would be a sad, sad day, because Isaiah admitted, you know what? I've got unclean lips. I am a messed up individual. How many of you are messed up individuals this morning? How many of you are unclean lips? We dwell in the midst of a world of unclean lips. And so if Isaiah stopped right there, all we could do is hang our heads down and say, woe is me, I have no hope. But I like what it continues. Verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims, the ones that was praising the Lord and saying, holy, holy, holy. One of the seraphims came to me, and he had a live coal in his hand. And he had taken it with the tongs from the off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he said this, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. I'm glad there is hope to have our sins purged. I'm glad there is hope to cure the problem of unclean lips. I am glad there is one that is high and lifted up. I am glad there is one that is holy enough to do those things. You have hope this morning, but you got to admit that you need it. If we live our lives like we got it all figured out, if we live our lives like, hey, we're holy and we're no need of help, guess what? You're in a bad spot. But when we finally realize that we have a God and he is holy and the whole earth is full of his holiness, when we finally realize that and we finally see who we are, then we're exactly where we need to be. And then he said this, and I heard the voice of the Lord, and this is what the Lord said, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I am a messenger, and I am telling you of the holy God. I am telling you of the man, excuse me, Isaiah, who said, holy, 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 there's hope. And that hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for that hope we have. Lord, when we finally understand and realize just how unholy we really are, how messed up we really are, Lord, when we finally get to that point and realize that the only place we can look up for salvation is to you, when we finally get to that point, then we are where we need to be, because you are holy and you are righteous and you are just. Thank you for forgiving us. But God, also thank you for providing a way of forgiveness through your Son, Jesus Christ. I don't know everybody's heart in this building this morning, but you do. You know the tribulations and trials that some are dealing with right now. There may be someone in this room who's just losing hope of everything. May you comfort those precious souls. There may be those who are sitting here this morning thinking it's all about them, and they can't wait to get out of here and live their life of debauchery and filth that they've been living. I'm asking you, God, right now that you would convict them and show them how holy you are. But also they can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's some of us that just need to simply worship you. as we sing and as we read and as we pray and as we give. May we do all these things for your honor and glory. Thank you that we can be here today. And I ask you that you be glorified. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Scott, come on up if you would.
Good morning. I want to give some mission news. So with that in mind, on the news end, on Wednesday, the church approved that we support Drew Bowers. He's a local man and his family, and they do mission work by doing disaster relief. So he'll be by soon, and we'll be able to bless him by telling him that. And then the kids, we're going to bless him by, they raise money, the kids raise money for him during VBS. So we'll have the kids bless him by him coming back and explaining what he's doing right now. And so I want to talk about another missionary that we have as well. We support Pete and Marianne Leclerc. Many of you have seen them. If you don't know, they're Dale and Linda Hogue's daughter is Marianne. So she just shared a prayer request. So I want to share that all with you, and then we'll pray for them. So they have a deaf church in Indianapolis. And currently today, probably as we speak, Pete is preaching in Wisconsin. So we're going to pray for that opportunity. And one of the unique things about the deaf ministry is that there's a big barrier, as you can imagine, in communication. So it causes a lot of loneliness and seclusion problems. And so Pete and Marianne do a lot of reaching out, and they try to go out in the community, try to make a lot of connections so they can do the communication, the one-on-one discipling. So, for instance, this week Pete had this young man that he reached out to and they talked to as a teenager, and he was going to a church and he felt secluded, and he ended up moving away from that and moving away from the Lord. And then Pete met with him, but he's not in Indianapolis, so they had to travel. And so they're meeting with him earlier this week, and they're encouraging him. And then he's going to meet with his grandparents and him again. Or they met like early on Wednesday, and then they met again on Friday. So we're going to pray for this young man that he would be saved and that they could disciple him. And basically it brings up what we all need to be doing is some one-on-one discipling. So let's take some people under our wings and encourage them. And then we can always be discipled by someone else. So it's a continual growth process. And they really emphasize that, Pete and Marianne do. So we're going to pray for them. And they have a big need right now. Marianne uses a big, heavy, motorized wheelchair. And so they have one of those vans that has a ramp. Well, the door on that thing is totally busted. They got it, like, strapped up, held together, kind of barely. They have a van in mind that they want to get, but they're needing the funds for that, basically. And I like what Marianne said in her prayer request was, I serve a big God. And so they're basically trusting that God will provide. So if any of you are prompted by this, let me know, or let Dale and Linda know, and let's try to bless them with that van. And so we're going to pray for the van situation, and their service dog Lenny is at the vet. That's a need they have. And then they're preaching in Wisconsin. Let's go ahead and pray for them. Lord, we thank you for Pete and Marianne. What a heart they have. They have definitely said, God, here I am, send me. And they've been sent, and they have such a fervor for helping the deaf and just a love for you. We thank you for their example. And we pray that you would bless them with the van that they need, and we pray for their service dog to be well. And we pray especially for this young man that they're discipling. He would grow in Jesus and be saved if he's not. And we pray for the preaching right now, that many would be touched by Pete's preaching of the gospel. And we thank you. Just cause them to flourish. We want to see them succeed in a big way. We praise you and thank you that we do serve a big God, and we agree with Marianne. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Scott. Gentlemen, come on forward. Let's take up our offering this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. And when you give towards missions, you're helping to give towards the Leclercs also. So praise God for those who are being faithful and giving to our missions and to our other programs here at the church. Amen. Amen. Come on down. Amen. Justin, would you please pray for the offering, sir? Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Everybody standing. Number 125 in your church hymnal this morning. He keeps me singing. 125 in your church hymnal. We'll sing a verse or so, and then the choir will come down. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing. Singing as I go. Last verse now. Soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Sing it out now. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Fellowship around, the choir will come down. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, we have children's church. Children's church. Sing it out now. I'll fly away. Amen.
Sing it.
I'll fly away.
Sing it and you'll fly away.
Huh? He said, are you going to sing it and fly away? Put your hands together this morning.
when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, fly away. Last verse, just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end.
Amen, amen. Please be seated. Thank you, gentlemen.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Did you feel that empty feeling? His shame done all it's stealing. And you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
thank him today for his marvelous grace, his wonderful love. Love that has a multitude of sin. What a wonderful Savior we have. I want to talk about it. I want to tell people about it. You know, I had two sick people this week, but I had to just minister to them in my home. They just got sick, and I had to give them some medicine and stuff, preacher. I don't go out a lot like I used to. I used to go to the rest homes. I used to go to the jails. I used to go to the radio stations. That's just a few. But let me tell you, I don't get there anymore much. But let me tell you, I've asked God. God, would you send them to my home? And preacher, they does that. I get a lot of there. I get people that works on my lawn, people that works on the water, people that works on my life. Let me tell you, people that just drops by looking for some work. Somebody lives. Let me tell you something, people. There's more to do than to sit on these pews on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night and warm them up. God didn't call us for that. He said, go out in the highways and hedges, you didn't do it, and bring them in. The fields are white and ready to harvest, but the laborers are few. I believe that with you today. Preacher, I just don't want to stop sometimes till the Lord just cuts me off.
Amen. Amen. Now, this illustration's got nothing to do with Miss Birchfield. But sometimes we don't like being told we're wrong, even though we're completely wrong. I had a friend of mine up in Kingsport, Tennessee, and she told me this story. She says, I'm going to give you permission to share the story, but don't share my name. I said, okay. If you remember way back when McDonald's used to offer two apple pies for a dollar. How many remember those days? Two apple pies for a dollar. That's when dinosaurs roamed the earth. So she loved apple pies. And so one day she went through the drive-thru and she was looking at the menu and everything else. And she got up to the speaker and she says, I would like two apple pies for a dollar. And there was a silence on the other end. And the clerk or the person speaking to her says, ma'am, we don't have that. Now she started getting a little hot. She said, now wait a minute. I just saw the advertisement on TV that you've got two apple pies for a dollar. And a few moments went by and silence on. She said, ma'am, I just talked to my manager. And my manager says that we do not have two apple pies for a dollar. Now, we'll be glad to give you an apple pie for a dollar, but we can't give you two for a dollar. We don't do that here. Now, she was really getting mad. She said, I'm going to pull up to the window, and when I get there, you're going to give me two apple pies for a dollar, or I'm going to speak to your manager. Poor person on the other end said, ma'am, you can pull up, but we don't offer two apple pies for a dollar. She says, well, I'm going to pull up. So she pulled up, and she was mad. She was red in the face because she loved apple pies. And she pulled up, and she rolled the window down, and she said, I saw on the television this morning that McDonald's offers two apple pies for a dollar. The manager said, yes, ma'am, they do, but we're Burger King. Sometimes we get our minds so set on something and thinking that we're right, when in reality we're really wrong. And when somebody tries to tell us that we're wrong, we get awful upset about it because we're so sure that we're right. That's what Paul was dealing with here in Athens with Athenians. They had their way set. They thought they knew everything. They were open to other things, but they had their mind set that this is the way it's going to be, and there's no way to alter it. Let me ask you a question. Is that where you are this morning? Are you so set in your ways and in your thought processes and in your convictions that you don't see that there possibly could be another way? That there possibly could be a different way to deal with the situation? That there possibly could be a fact that there is a God, that He is a true and living God, and that the only way to get to Him is through Jesus Christ? Is it possible that could be true in your life this morning. Go to the book of Acts chapter 17. Paul is on Mars Hill speaking. Acts chapter 17. Verse number 22, we're going to pick up. Verse number 22 of Acts chapter 17. It says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. You're very religious,' he said. 'For I passed by and I beheld your devotions and found an altar with this inscription, and it said, "To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." Verse 26, "And he hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." And here's the reason he did this: that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. He is standing in these midst of these people, and he is telling them this: that God has made everybody. He created everybody from one blood, from the man Adam. Now, the Athenians, the Greeks, they did not like to hear this. They thought it was Greek and barbarian. If you were not a Greek, you were a barbarian. You were not anything to them whatsoever. You were lower class than them. Isn't it amazing that's how always the world's been? It's always this group of people and everybody else lower, based upon race, based upon ethnicity, based upon gender, based upon any kind of division that you can think of. Mankind has always done that. Mankind has always said, "I'm better and everybody else is lesser." May I tell you, we all bleed red. We are all a creation of God. Now, we're not all children of God. There's a big difference. You've been created by God. But unless you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not a child of God. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what a professor says. I don't care what the movies say. If you don't know Jesus Christ your Savior, you're not a child of God. You're a creation, but you're not a child of God. I'm hoping this morning that everybody in this room is a child of God. But in case you're not, God loves you enough that he's given you the opportunity even this morning to become a child of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's telling the Athenians now, he says, not only has God created everything, and not only is God in control of everything, he says that here's the reason. He has made one blood, verse 26, of all nations, of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. In other words, God has determined who's going to be where. God has determined how long it's going to last. God has determined how long you're going to live, because God controls everything. Now, we don't like that aspect. We don't like the fact that God controls everything. We want to be in the driver's seat. How many of you have somebody in your family that even though you're driving, they want to be in control of the vehicle? You bunch of wimps. Come on now, how many of you have someone in your family just like that? Oh my goodness. See, you're in control right now. We want to be in control. We want to be how fast we're going. We want to be how slow we're going. We want to be the turn that we make. We want to be the turn we don't make. We want to determine this. We want to turn. Bless God, I'm an American and I can do what I want to do. I got that freedom. The Greeks were the same way. And Paul is simply telling them, and guess what? You're not in control. It's not about you. God's already determined these things. I don't like that, Brother Brian. I don't like being told that. May I tell you, this ain't McDonald's and it ain't 2-for-1 apple pies. Amen? Here's the problem. We don't like it, but that doesn't make it untrue. Then he continues this, and here's what I want to spend a little bit of time on this morning, verse number 27. Here's the reason that God did that. That they, those who are of one blood, who God's in control of, that they should seek the Lord. Underline that, seek the Lord. God has created all of these things. God has made so that we would seek the Lord. May I admit to you this morning, I cannot do anything on my own. I cannot preach on my own. I cannot be a husband or a father on my own. I can't be a man on my own. I need God and God alone to make me what I need to be. Can you admit that yourself this morning by saying amen?
Amen?
Or are you your own God? Now when he said those words, their ears started to even prick up even more because they're thinking, now wait a minute, you're saying there's something wrong with us. You're saying that we're not right and that we're not capable of anything. You're not capable of anything on your own. He says that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after Him or find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. God is not playing a spiritual or a cosmic hide and seek. He's not wandering around the earth, hiding behind a tree or a mountain, saying, "Peekaboo, here I am. Come find me if you can. I'm going to make it really hard for you to find me, so I'm going to hide really well. And then if you happen to stumble upon me, then guess what? Everything's going to be fine." That's not what God does. And as he was speaking this to the Athenians, the Greeks, they were beginning to think, now wait a minute, we have to go through all these rituals and these rigmaroles to Zeus and to all the different gods that we worship. And we've got to do all this and we've got to do it. And we're hoping that maybe they might forgive us and maybe they might bless us and maybe they might do this. And Paul says, no, the living and true God, that's not how He operates. He reveals Himself in everything. Turn to the book of Romans with me if you would real quick. Let me show you. Paul speaking to a totally different set of people in Rome. Romans chapter number 1. Very common. Most of you have read this passage before, but I'm reading it again this morning for you. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. Now he's also writing to people in Rome. They were Romans and they had many gods. Verse number 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and also to the Greek." So we got the Jews here now who thought they were better than the Greeks. They thought that it was Jewish people and it was barbarians. When he was speaking to the Greeks, he was speaking to people who thought there was Greeks and there were barbarians. I'm speaking to a group of people, maybe you're from North Carolina, and you say, there's North Carolinians and there's barbarians.
Amen.
There's everybody else. There's locals and there's tourists. Why do we have to divide it? Paul says salvation is not just to the Jews, is not just to the Greeks, it's open to everybody. How many are glad that you don't have to be from North Carolina to be saved? How many are glad you don't have to be from Swain County to be saved? Now, if you're not part of Victory Baptist Church, you're not saved, so just get over that. I'm just teasing. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, God is a holy God. And He is going to judge unrighteousness. He is going to judge ungodliness. He can't help it because He is holy and He is righteous and He is high and lifted up. And one day that judgment is coming. He is saying it plain. If you are not of God, if you are not a child of God, if you are not living your life according to what God says, you're going to be judged. It's not mankind doing the judging. It's not me judging you or you judging me. It's God saying, I will judge you. That's what He's saying here. Now, of course, as Paul was writing these words, and as they were reading these words, they were probably getting upset, thinking, oh no, here's another lecture from Paul saying that I'm doing something wrong. Verse number 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. God manifests Himself in us. I can clearly remember as a small child, I've told you over and over, I did not go to church. I had no religious upbringing. The only time I heard the name Jesus was as a cuss word. That's the only time. So my growing up days had nothing to do with religion. But I clearly remember as a 10-year-old child laying in my bed knowing there was something more powerful than me. Knowing that there had to be a God. Knowing that I wasn't an accident. Knowing that all the creation didn't just happen. I knew it. And you know how I knew it? Because God was manifested Himself in me. And He has manifested Himself in you also. He has shown you. The way you're looking, one example is the way you're looking at me right now. Your eyeballs just naturally look at everything upside down. But then they connect to your brain, and your brain takes it and makes it right side up. So if I stood up my hand up here, I'd be upside down, and your eyes would say, no, he's right side. It'd be a nuts if it wasn't the majesty of God's creation. Also, I would turn blue and probably pass out. But anyway, it's wonderful how God's created us. You can pinch your finger right here and you can feel it. The signal sent to your brain like that. The heart beating in your body. Your lungs drawing in fresh air and expelling bad air. You cannot tell me that's just an accident. You cannot convince me that it was just something by happenstance over trillions of years. Absolutely not. We have a God who has created us. And He's a magnificent God. So he says, Paul tells the Romans, he says, listen, God has revealed Himself inside of every person. How many of you love the tender cry of a baby? Now at 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe not. But there's something beautiful about that. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in, for God has showed it unto them. Verse number 20. How has He shown it? For the invisible things of Him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Underline that phrase, clearly seen. God does not play hide and seek. He doesn't say, well, maybe you'll see it when you know. He says, it is clearly seen. And it's understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Nobody can say, well, God, you didn't reveal yourself to me. No, God reveals Himself every single moment of every single day in the creation that He has made. in the fact that He has made you. The Holy Spirit is drawing people to God, and He's calling people to God, and He's saying, come and trust God through Jesus Christ. He's calling people. But what happens is, sometimes we don't want to hear it. Sometimes we put a big X and we say, I don't care, because I want to do what I want to do. I am my own God, and when I finally decide that I'm going to surrender to you, then okay. And God says, no, you're not always going to have that chance. Because I've revealed myself to you. I've made myself plain to you, He says. Verse number 21. Why? Why are they doing this? Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, the Athenians, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. As He was speaking to the Athenians, and He was telling them that the Creator, the one that's in control of all things, the one that loves them and everything else, they thought Paul was a fool because they had to admit that they weren't God and was only one living true God. Let me ask you a question. Consider this. Are you like the Athenians, where you think that you're your own God and that you don't want anybody to tell you that you're wrong? Are you like that this morning? You don't want somebody to tell you that you're in error. You don't want somebody to tell you that you've done something wrong. May I tell you, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, God sees us in our sin. He sees us in our filthiness. He sees our wretchedness. He sees how unholy we are. He sees all those things. But yet He said, I'm going to love them so much, I'm going to provide a way of salvation that they can be reconciled to me. I'm going to provide that way of salvation through my Son, Jesus Christ. God didn't leave us without a solution. Now, I'll tell you, I learned a lot from Danny Childers over the years. I have. But one thing I learned is that he can do a Rubik's Cube and I cannot. I remember one of the first things that he taught us, he brought the Rubik's Cube over to the house and he showed it, and I looked at him and I said, I can never do that. And he says, well, it's just something easy to do. Now, Danny, if I brought you up, could you solve it real quick in front of everybody? No, but I've learned that He knows how to do that. So I have either one of two choices. I can say, well, I'm going to let Danny do it and I'll never learn. Or I'm going to say, I want to do just like that. Become something that I could be doing. You can either decide this morning that you're satisfied in your spiritual state, that you're satisfied with what you're doing, you're satisfied in the life that you're living, and you can say, you know what? God, I'll call you when I need you. Or you can be smart and say, God, I need you. I can't do this anymore. I've got to have salvation. I've got to have that relationship with you. Thank you for creating me, but God, I need you today. One or two choices this morning. That continues in Romans. He says this, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. We have changed a holy God into a being that can be put into a little box. We have created a God for ourselves that fits our lives. May I tell you, that's not the way to go. If you can explain God, He's too small. You can't explain Him, but you worship Him and love Him because He is who He is. He is the great I Am. He's the merciful and gracious and forgiving God that has offered us salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. I don't understand it. I don't know why He did it. Why He picked the blood. Why He picked this. I don't understand it. But I'm so glad that He did. And I'm so glad He called me to salvation. He called you to salvation. So as He was telling these things to the Athenians, as He was on Mars Hill preaching these words, they began to get upset. They began to get bothered because He was telling them something that, number one, they had never heard, but number two, it went against everything that they believed. I remember one time in Kingsport, Tennessee, after church had gotten out, I had a couple of men approach me. They said, "Brother Brown, we need to talk to you about something." I said, "Okay, what's going on?" They said, "Well, we've got a family in our church that's very upset with you." I said, "Why are they upset with me?" And he says, "Because you use too much Bible and you preach too much what the Bible says." Wow. And I said, "Well, what did I say?" And they quoted what I said, the Bible verses that I used. And I said, "So you're telling me they're upset because of what the Bible says?" "No, they're upset because you tell them what the Bible says." Does that make sense to y'all? But you know what? There may be somebody in this very room that's upset with me because I've told you what the Bible says. You don't be upset with me. Be upset with God because it's what God said. But here's the great thing. God's not give up on you. So you say, "Brother Brian, I've trusted the Lord as my Savior. And I know that I've been created. I know He's in control. But I feel like my life's going off the rails." Guess what? It's not too late. God will put you back on the rails if you live your life according to what His Word says. "But I've tried and I've tried and I've tried." That's the problem. You've tried by yourself. It seems like this year there's been so many train wrecks. Trains getting off the railroad track and the disaster of those things are taking place. But you know what? That happens in our life too sometimes. Sometimes we wreck our trains. We got one or two choices then. We can let them lay there, or we can ask for help to get it put back on the rails. "God, I need your help, but God, I need someone to help me put it back on the rails and walk with me." Because guess what? You're not alone. Dale Hogue has issues of life. But so does Scott Bjerknes. So does Josh Deck. So does Brian Schuler. You're saying, "Whew, I'm glad he didn't call my name." But that's the truth. We all have issues of life, but none of us are alone. We have each other. We have God Almighty. Now go back to Acts chapter 17 real quick. Let me show you as we close this morning. Acts chapter 17. He says this, verse number 27. "He has done all these things that they should seek the Lord, and if happily they might feel after Him or find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being." You've been created for a reason. God has revealed Himself to you and I. God has made it apparent. God has convicted our hearts. God has shown us the truth. God has revealed Himself in all kinds of ways. The question now is, will you receive it or will you continue to ignore it? Earlier in the book of Acts, a man named Stephen was preaching, and he was telling the Jewish people, the synagogue, the Pharisees, he was telling them that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Now, there were some who believed. There were some who said, yes, he's the Messiah. But then there was those who it says that they covered their ears and they gnashed their teeth and they hated Stephen so much that they took him outside the city and they took stones and they killed him with the stones because they didn't want to hear the truth. Here in the book of Acts, the Athenians, they have to make a decision. Are we going to follow and believe, or we can continue to proceed in our ignorance? Here's your decision this morning. Are you going to follow and believe, or are you going to continue to walk the life that you are walking? I can't make that decision for you. You can't make that decision for me. You have to choose. So there's the question for you. God created us. He's manifested Himself. He's offered forgiveness and mercy and grace. Are you going to receive it? Or are you going to deny it? It's up to you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do this morning? Let's all stand together. There's the choice. God loved us so much, He not only created us, but He manifested Himself to us. He has made Himself real. He has made Himself obvious to us. Now our choice is, are we going to believe it or are we going to deny it? Now you may be sitting here this morning, standing here this morning, and you're struggling. You got a lot of issues of life. And maybe some of those things are preventing you from surrendering to the Lord. May I tell you this morning, it's not too late. God manifested Himself not only to save you, but He manifested Himself to give you hope that you can live with Him. God loves you. You're not alone. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to figure it out all. You don't have to solve it all. Come to Him. Let Him be your God. Gracie sang about that this morning. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He can make a way when there is no way. He can heal when it looks impossible. He provides every single day. Heavenly Father, You know our hearts this morning. I'm hopefully talking to a room full of people who know that Jesus Christ is their Savior and they are therefore Your child. But Lord, I also understand and realize that that is probably not true. There are probably some folks here this morning, and I'm glad that they're here. I'm thankful that they're here. But they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're trying to make it on their own. And I'm asking You, God, this morning that You would reveal Yourself to them even in a great and mighty way. And that, Father, You would help them to understand that You'll forgive them for all their sins through Your Son, Jesus, if they'll simply place their faith in Him. I'm praying, Father, this morning for that Christian, that child of God, who feels like a fish out of water flopping, and they cannot breathe, and they're struggling, and they want to know this hope and this peace and this strength that they once had. But God, they can't do it. They're scared. They're alone. May today be that day they come back to You and realize that You love them. You've not given up on them. Lord, thank You for making a way. Thank you that you manifest yourself in all kinds of ways. Thank you for calling us. So, Father, if there's someone in this room that needs Jesus for salvation, may they come today and let us show them from your word how they can know that. If there's a Christian who's struggling and they need someone to pray for them and surround them in love, let us help them. And if there's a Christian here this morning that's praising God because of what you've done for them, let them rejoice in that today. You're the only hope we have. We cannot do it without you. In Christ's precious name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, Ms. Doris is going to begin to play. If you have a need, I invite you to come.